right, Pat, this is our instant reaction to 2019's The Lighthouse, which you have not seen, I don't think. Have you seen it?
No, so it's your instant reaction to The Lighthouse.
Do you have any, first of all, do you have any interest in seeing this movie? This is going to be spoiler-free, FYI. Okay. But I'm just asking you personally, as a movie fan, do you have any interest in seeing
it? I'll probably watch it eventually.
So for those of you who don't know, The Lighthouse is a 2019 American psychological horror film directed and produced by Robert Eggers, who co-wrote the screenplay with his brother Max Eggers. It is shot in black and white. The film follows two lighthouse keepers portrayed by Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson, who start to lose their sanity when a storm hits the remote island on which they are stationed. It's got a runtime of 110 minutes. It's in limited release. I have to talk about this movie, non-spoilery. Even if I gave you a full spoiler review instead of just a non-spoiler instant reaction, I don't think it would spoil anything because the plot is almost secondary to the experience of watching this. First and foremost, I'm going to do a kind of who shot John long way of getting to my thoughts. So bear with me, Pat.
All right, I'm bearing.
I have to start with saying this is Robert Eggers directed The Witch. If you don't like that movie, you're probably not going to like this one.
Okay.
The audacity of a guy in 2019 to be like, I had a kind of moderate indie horror film hit. I'm going to make a movie that is in standard definition on a big screen in black and white, and that is going to, the dialogue is going to sound like it was taken directly from a Herman Melville novel, like Moby Dick.
Okay.
Where we're going to speak a version of England, Northeast, like Maine, New Hampshire, whatever, like New England, probably New England sort of accent from a century and a half ago.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's the diction and vernacular that we're going to use, especially Willem Dafoe's character. It's going to be long, play-like soliloquies and monologues in a language that you can barely understand without any subtitles whatsoever, in a almost non-linear storytelling fashion. And I'm going to release this in theaters.
All right.
The creative boldness and the creative balls to be able to do that is, I have to applaud that no matter what, straight out of the gate. So we always talk about, like, we want people to take chances. This guy took some chances. He definitely had a creative vision in telling this story. I think when I think about the movie, I think about myth. I think about why we as human beings create myth. And I think that myth typically exists to try to explain the unexplainable or the uncontrollable. So if you think about ancient civilizations, the sea or the ocean or water or rivers factors into a great deal of mythology anywhere people were live near water. Because in the ancient world, they understood, if not scientifically, that water was unknowable. It was vast. It was an abyss. In many cultures, water was synonymous with death, or the grave, or the afterlife, or even hell, some sort of eternal abyss, some sort of eternal punishment. So some of the earliest ideas about hell were water and not fire, or death was always almost synonymous with the watery depths, the grave, you know, was always kind of wet. Because if you think about it, you're an ancient civilization. You understand that this thing is somehow connected to the moon and the celestial beings, because we know based on the position of stars in the sky that the tides are different. But also at the same time, the temperament of the sea can change almost in an instant. And if you are in a pre-scientific society, that would definitely seem like the moods of a god, the moods of Poseidon or the moods of whatever local deity you worshiped, because you could be a fisherman and you're out in the water and it could look like a clear day. If you're not observant of the signs around you, the wind changes, a storm comes rolling out of nowhere, capsizes your boat. Let's say somebody survived a capsizing. They're going to have to somehow explain why on a clear blue day that everyone else in that ship died. And so, well, maybe it's we didn't offer the right offering to this god, or maybe we didn't. Maybe we were too mean to the seagulls, or maybe we didn't pack the right meat, or, you know, there was this thing that we typically do, we didn't do it, and then this tragedy happened. So then that becomes part of a superstition or it becomes part of a myth. And if you think about sea culture, there's a lot of superstition. Even today, there's sea captains, boat captains.
Yeah, traditions, cultures, myths, right. Fears, and stuff like that.
You think about all of the myth about the sea that exists and superstition about the sea, going back to the earliest civilizations all the way till now. You think about pirate lore and ghost ships and Bermuda Triangle and all this sort of stuff. So it's almost the perfect setting to do a psychological horror movie, which is you start with, you know, if myth is an explanation for the unexplainable, what if we started with the myth and superstition? And then as the sanity of these two guys who are on this remote island in this lighthouse in this nondescript setting, as their sanity begins to unravel, potentially, then you're deconstructing these myths. Because if myths are trying to give narrative and structure and logic to chaos, then if you begin stripping myth away, if you deconstruct it, you're left with chaos again. And that's what this movie feels like. It's an unraveling of superstition and myth as the sanity of these two guys unravels and you're left with chaos. Does that leave you? It's anti-narrative. That's the best way to put it. If a myth is a narrative that gives an explanation, if you deconstruct the narrative, you're left with anti-narrative. You're left with non-answers. And that is what this movie, I think, really is. I think if you have a background in especially Greek mythology or Poseidon or even Prometheus, if you understand those myths, I think there's a lot of elements that are borrowed from there to tell this story about these two guys. It could work both on an extraordinarily literal level. It could work on a psychological horror level. It could also just work on a metaphorical level, where the whole thing is a metaphor for, I don't even want to get into it, but what the sea has always been a metaphor of: life, death, the temperament of the gods, eternal judgment, all this sort of stuff. So at the end of it, I just went and saw it with somebody and they absolutely hated it.
Oh, okay.
They hated the experience because the experience of watching this movie is these are two guys, both of which I'll say the performances are outstanding. If Willem Dafoe is not at least nominated for an Academy Award, somebody's messed up, because I think he might give the best performance of his career. He has these Greek epic, like Iliad level diatribes, soliloquies, monologues. It's one in particular that is just like straight fire, and it goes on and he doesn't even catch his breath, and he's like, it feels like 5 continuous minutes of him speaking and building, and it's almost biblical in a sense. You know, Robert Pattinson, who not since the days of Twilight, Twilight, I mean, he's just come so far, man, and he's genuinely turned into a very interesting, very credible, very good actor,
which I mean, I guess relieves some anxiety about him playing Batman, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, he can play a weirdo, that's for sure. Yeah. He does a fantastic job in this.
He's just a weirdo, and that's what he should just play.
Yeah, maybe. There's some underlying humor in this movie that you wouldn't expect either. I would say it's cruder than you would expect. There's okay. A lot of scatological humor.
So
kind of comes out of nowhere.
So like us.
Yeah, a little bit. Honestly.
Crude psychological humor.
Yeah. Oh, well, the person I was with hated it. And because it is almost non-narrative, I mean, there is sort of a story, but it fills in no blanks for you whatsoever. It is ambiguous at best. It feels at times non-linear, even though it is kind of a linear story. There really isn't an explanation of a great deal. There's a lot of really strange imagery that is thrown in there that is beautiful and compelling and odd and discomforting all at the same time. And the entire movie is designed from the sound design. There's some repetitive sounds that are put into it. The entire thing is made to be unenjoyable because you are in this situation with these two characters where it's wet and moldy, and whatever era they're in, they're still using chamber pots. So you're pissing in a pot and putting it under your bed. You're these two roughnecks basically living on this remote island, eating gruel and with your teeth rotting out of your head, smoking pipes, getting drunk to pass the time. You're not bathing. Sanitation is non-existent. I mean, it's that time in American history where like nobody ever wanted to live. And it's just a hard, dirty, filthy, rough, monotonous life. And that movie captures the spirit and the tone of what it must have been like to be one of these lighthouse keepers. And it's so in that sense, it's almost intentionally miserable. I see that as being effective because they're trying to convey to you the experiences of what it would have been like to live in that time. If you like to go to movies and have you think that the experience you ought to be having should be enjoyable or entertaining, I don't know that this is the movie for you. If you look at movies as being, they are experiences that I'm having and I want to be moved or to have different types of experiences, or if you like performance above narrative, this is the movie for you. So I would give it a recommend. I did not really want to see it. I really wasn't all that interested in it, but the person I went with really wanted to see it. And then what was funny was at the end of it, I was like, I think that was pretty great. And they were like, I hated it. I hated every minute of that.
Oh man.
It's long. It's a very long movie. It kind of feels its length. I liked it. I would give it a recommend with a lot of strong caveats. If you need story, if you need answers, if you need conclusions, if you need non-ambiguity, if you need meaning from chaos, this is the opposite. This is chaos from meaning.
Yeah. If you need bathroom breaks.
I had to take one. I took one. It's a long movie. I had to take one. And I missed a very bizarre scene. I was like, what did I miss? And then it was describing what I missed. I was like, that sounds absolutely bizarre. And then it circled back around. I was like, oh, that is bizarre. So, I mean, it's crude. It's vulgar. It's dark. It's graphic. It's depressing. It's difficult material. I think you have to have some background into some mythology and ancient civilization sort of stuff. And I honestly, I think the movie would benefit from probably having subtitles, especially for Willem Dafoe's character. He speaks so rapidly and in such a arcane way of speaking, such an archaic version of English, that I think having some subtitles underneath it would have helped it. This is not a movie that holds your hand whatsoever. I think if you go into it thinking it's going to be like The Witch, which is going to be kind of long and drawn out, and then at the end there's going to be some amazing twist, there really potentially is, maybe, but potentially isn't. So I think if you are expecting it to be another The Witch, you're going to be disappointed. I think you need to accept this movie on its own terms. It is a dirty, filthy, vulgar, long, arduous art house movie about philosophy and myth, and with only two actors in the entire thing, long sections of dialogue in a form of English you won't understand, in standard definition on a widescreen in black and white. And it is not interested in whether or not you understand it or like it. It is trying to actively make you miserable. If that sounds like a good time at the theater for you,
wow, yeah,
I'd go see it. I mean, I don't mind those experiences.
Sounds like our natural experience here in the bunker. Anyways.
Right, yes.
So
yeah.
I can see why you enjoy it. It felt like home to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like
it's amazing what can be conveyed in black and white too. The stink. I mean, it's almost like you can smell these guys in black
kinda
and white.
Like I can smell you.
Maybe.
It sounds like you're describing a movie that's more suited to cinephiles, not just your casual viewer.
Yeah, probably.
Not somebody like, oh, it's Friday night, let's go to the movies.
No, this isn't
that type of movie. This is like somebody that likes art house movies, or
it's
just different types of cinema in itself. Yeah. Like somebody that enjoys like seeing performances and seeing somebody doing something different. It's kind of how you're describing it.
Well, this is the time of year that we're in. We're in Oscar season.
Yes, it is.
So this is when a lot of these movies, the A24s, the Neons, Annapurna, these groups are putting out their art house films that came out back during Cannes. The Cannes Film Festival, they're starting to get a little bit more release out of New York and LA. A lot of these movies came out in March. They're just sort of making the rounds across the country, which is why I don't want to go into a lot of spoilers, because these are limited release. It just came to our area and I was able to be released to go out and see it.
Yes.
So it's a limited release art house movie that was made for less than $4 million. And, you know, it's probably going to make $10, $20 million, and they might re-release it if it gets some Academy buzz. I would say if you're in art house or Oscar sort of level movies, or if you like a lot of what A24 puts out, this is, you know whether or not this is in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch the preview. If you look at that and go, that seems boring, uninteresting, and terrible, don't go see it. If you look at them and go, and then go see it. You know whether or not you like art house pictures.
Yeah, and your casual viewers probably not even heard of this movie.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But I would give it a recommend. Yeah. This is like my Christmas, man. I go to the movies incessantly from about here to end of November, and then December is usually a trash can dumpster fire, and January is usually a living nightmare. So,
yeah.
And then we get the fun spring stuff again. So, I love these sort of movies in this time of year. They don't all work for me, but I love going to the theater and seeing somebody take some chances.
Yeah,
instead of watching Terminator or Dark Fart 5.
You know, paint-by-number movies.
Yeah, like it's just like, we watch those enough on the show. Like, if I want to go see a movie, do something bold, take some chance, do something different. Even if I don't completely like it, I'll have an appreciation for it. And Eggers definitely does that with 2019's The Lighthouse.